Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Hi, I'm Gil Fulbright. The people who run my campaign, they've made this commercial, and I'm in it. This campaign, it's not about me. It's about crafting a version of me that'll appeal to you. A version that visits random work sites with paid actors, pointing at things. Has a conventionally attractive yet curiously still family. Listening to my constituents, legislating, these are things I don't do. What I do is spend about 70% of my time raising funds for re-election. I'd do anything to stay in office. My name's Gil Fulbright, but hell, I'll change my name to Phil Goldbright or Bill Fulbright or fill up my mouth with farts. These are the things that are important to me. And these are the fine people that finance my campaign. Now, in order to do these things, I have to stay in office. And to stay in office, I have to keep these guys happy. Now, if any of these things make these guys unhappy, well, my hands are tied. So come November, the choice is clear. Do you want another spineless mouthpiece for special interest and lobbyists? Or a spineless mouthpiece for special interest and lobbyists? I'm Philip, a mouth with farts, and I approve this message.
Hey there, welcome. Kate Daly show for you.
I'm glad you're tuned in. You know that we're just going to talk about some truth, so that's good. It's a great place to start, right? Welcome. Welcome to the show. And I have an exciting show for you, actually, today. I got two great guests that are joining me. So I actually am a really lucky girl that I get to be really in the company of so many amazing people that come on the show that have their level of expertise, and they're able to help us understand what's going on around us as well. We had the debate last night. People are saying it was more civilized. You know, it's funny. They still don't ask the right questions. They don't ask anything about the Constitution or defending the Constitution or anything like that, the proper role of government. Then we, the people, are taught to really just look at their mannerisms, their glances, the gotcha moments, and their ties and how they relate to each other. That's what we're taught to look for, which is kind of like the piece I just played. And then you've got what I call the vulture after cluster of commentary after, because they all swarm in, you know, like a bunch of hornets, and try to give you their analysis from the nitwit organization from hell's, scripted context. And it's just amazing to watch how they interpret what went on and how they can fill an hour or two with their just sickening commentary coming from bubbleheads, you know, bobbleheads, whatever you want to name them. Anyway, so this is why I don't pay attention to this a lot. And of course, you know, Tony's out, Hunter Biden's associate is out talking about Biden, talking about the lies and talking about everything. We might talk about that in the next hour. And also we might talk about it on Monday as well. But his testimony is quite compelling in talking about the dealings with Hunter Biden, his father, who didn't want to be named in the dealings, and there are dealings with China. So he came out and honestly pretty much gave this, you know, hey, I know this is going to expose Biden, but oh well, and here you go, kind of a new October surprise. And so we'll probably hit upon that in the next hour as well. Also, Biden kept talking about dark winter in his whatever you want to call it at the podium. I don't even know what you call it. I don't know. He's just so full of He just can't even remember what he lied about. It's not like he has dementia. I liked what a friend wrote. A friend wrote, he just can't remember his lies anymore. He's lied so much and so often for 40 years that he just doesn't remember anymore. But he talked about Dark Winter, and there is something on Dark Winter that you probably need to know. We're also moving closer to a lockdown. Italy, the numbers are getting higher, and they say, and so they're pushing for a lockdown in all their articles, and Europe as well. So we'll be next. So if you don't think that's not going to happen, I'm sorry, I disagree. I actually think it's going to happen by mid-November. Okay, with all that said, I want to tell you, I've got Alan Steve on the line, and talk about that. Okay, let me talk about Alan. Tireless advocate for more fair treatment of individuals under the law for 2 decades of his life. And as far as from the disabled to those with medical conditions, severe medical conditions, he's pushed for individual approaches rather than kind of a one-size-all-fits treatment. And he also has written a book called Face Masks in One Lesson to demonstrate how and why that individualized patient-centric approach must be continued for the benefit of those people that are actually in need, not the numbers of people that we're getting. One thing I want you to notice is the numbers are going up. What are they testing? They're testing college students and students. Now, who's wearing the mask the most because they're forced to in order to go to school? College students and students, K through 12. So the numbers are going up with the people that are wearing the masks. So I just want you guys to kind of, wow. But I also wanted to say this about Alan. He's spoken to audiences at University of Chicago, MIT, dozens of other top schools, 2012 and in 2014. Well, in 2012, he became a best-selling author. In 2014, a syndicated columnist. And he's written for The Hill, Roll Call, The Daily Caller, Economic Policy Journal, LouRockwell.com. Lou's a fan of the show. And the 10th Amendment Center and The Daily Bell. 10th Amendment Center is awesome, too. We have guests from there as well. And New York Post, Buffalo News, you name it, Epic Times, one of my more favorites, Mises.org. And then you've also been featured on everything from CNN to Bloomberg to New York Times to Wall Street Journal. So I welcome you, Alan Stevo. How are you?
Thank you. That was really something, that intro. And I like that video, advertisement, political advertisement you start off with. That was fantastic.
Yeah, right? I love that ad because it says volumes about what we have to go through during election time. And the other thing I would say about election time is don't rush your ballot in, please. Information comes out on candidates and things all the way up to the election. Why are you in such a rush? Don't go for the to-do list checkmark box. Just sit on it and make a really informed decision. Don't just rush to turn it in because you just want that something to do over with. If that's how you feel about voting anyway, you probably shouldn't vote. So just, you know, don't go for the, I have to vote early. Lots of stuff comes out. So I'm hoping people, you know, understand that they probably shouldn't be doing that so early. Now, with these impending lockdowns, because Europe and Italy are touting this, and we always, of course, follow Italy because that's what we did last time. What are we looking at with the face mask issue? Because more states are contemplating going into face mask mandates, which is not a law, by the way. Not a law. You don't have to follow it. Businesses were already told when they opened up during lockdowns that they're not going to have to pay the fines, according to a judge that ruled on a case. So we have that in your arsenal to think about. I still think 100 businesses in every single city should get together, and they should absolutely take a pact that says we will not close if this happens. And also the fact that businesses in number can do a lot of good. So please make sure that each city could do this, and we actually could make a huge difference because it's in numbers that we prevail like that. But I want to talk about this face mask issue, because a lot of people are still really confused by it and don't understand that it doesn't do anything. But I want to hear from you, Alan, what your thoughts are when you were writing this book, Face Masks in One Lesson.
Yeah, there's so many people out there who are still, I know you've described your life with no face mask, and
right.
It sounds just phenomenal. And there's a lot of parts of the country still and parts in the world where people aren't like that. They don't have the courage and they don't have the local kind of leadership mm-hmm. in the community to encourage people to go without masks if that's their preference. And, you know, politicians are terrible everywhere. That's mm-hmm. a guarantee. The difference is some communities have the unelected leadership that pushes the politicians away from tyranny. Other communities lack that leadership. And we see New York and the whole Atlantic Northeast, they had such horrible COVID numbers because there was no check to whatever any politician wanted to pull on the public, with the exception maybe of some of the Orthodox Jews in Brooklyn who are burning their masks and saying, we're not going to close our synagogues and things like that. But by and large, there's just no check on the politicians in the places where it's the worst.
Right.
And I think it won't happen overnight, but I think 5 years from now, there will increasingly be this information saying, hey, where the people stood up for this individual approach, this American approach, things went better.
Right.
Where people said, let's be more like China as quickly as we can.
Yeah.
That's the place where things went poorly. That's what I think we're going to learn one day.
Yes. Yes. You know, it's funny because there's so much evidence out there. The CDC put out a study that said that face masks don't. This is all during influenza, all during all these things. And they've taught us to think COVID is so different and it's not. But what's interesting is the CDC already came out and said they don't do anything. In March, Anthony Fauci was on 60 Minutes saying the masks don't do anything but make you feel better. The New Zealand and Australia tested 1,600 medical professionals several years back. I think this was 2014. And they said that the ones that wore it the most got more sick. The medical professionals that wore them the most. And so, you know, there's clear evidence it's all being buried. And then the Danish came out yesterday and said they were trying to publish a study, but there's no takers. Nobody will take the information and spread the information. And that came out actually in RT that they were trying, but they have pertinent information for us that says the masks don't work. Why are we doing this in America? And so all of these things are considered now, you know, nobody ever shares them. Nobody ever talks about them. You won't find them on Google because they've purged Google. Now they're purging Facebook hardcore, getting rid of all kinds of different accounts and telling you can't share this info. And so there's obviously a road to we don't want this information out. And does that still amaze you that this is the case so hardcore during this whole entire year, that they're this intent on making sure that they give us the only information they want to give us right now?
That's always happened with information, and mm-hmm. it should not surprise us. A study, what should surprise us is how many people are going along with it, I would say. A study that's a favorite of mine, it came out of... So the CDC has a journal on epidemiology called Emerging Infectious Disease, and there's a research team out of the University of Hong Kong. Like April 3rd, somewhere around there, the CDC said, we got to do face masks. And then this study appeared in their journal about a month later, and it was by Zhengji Zhao, XIOA, I think is how you spell her name, mm-hmm. University of Hong Kong, and she saw this horrible COVID stuff, and she saw people doing superstition in response to COVID,
mm-hmm.
and
okay.
she's saying, how do we figure out what's science and what's superstition?
Okay, so, we're going to hold the thought. Hold that thought right there. It's a terrible place to hold that thought. We're going to come right back on the Kate Daly Show. Hold that thought. We'll wind it up a bit when we come right back. Hold on.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Without a face. Don't you feel like that? You're walking around and You don't know what anyone's, if anyone's smiling or scowling, and all you see is a bunch of eyes walking around. It's the weirdest thing. And so there's, for so many reasons, I'll just say that, for so many reasons. I've invited Alan Stevo on. He's got a great book coming out next week. The title of the book?
Face Masks in One Lesson.
Face Masks in One Lesson. You're going to want this book. Alan's a terrific writer. So let's wind it up a bit. We just went into the last break, and we had to go to break. So let's wind that up just a little bit and give what you were going to give at the break.
Oh, this team out of the University of Hong Kong, they put together 14 gold standard studies, control randomized trials, and they reviewed them and said, what can we learn from these trials about how well face masks work?
Mm-hmm.
So they came up with all kinds of stuff, like sanitizing surfaces doesn't protect against COVID, or washing your hands doesn't protect against COVID. Masks don't work. They came up with things like actually covering your mouth is nice because people don't like if you cough or sneeze in front of them, but in terms of COVID, you're not being protected. So she tried to like come up with all these ways that superstition takes precedence over actual science. And she said, this is what the science shows. So there's no, she took the good trials. There's lots of stuff that says face masks work too.
Mm-hmm.
But she took the good trials. She used a good methodology. She said, what is the good science, the best science saying out there? The best science is unequivocally saying face masks do not work. That when we test people in the laboratory, not a mechanistic study like should the face mask work in theory. When we test people in the laboratory and we confirm what they had, the people using the face mask do not end up with lower levels of the respiratory disease. So this is super important, CDC journal. So you can say, you know, there's Fauci saying one kind of thing, then there's this researcher saying another kind of thing. Maybe the CDC is at conflict with each other, but I think it's even simpler than that. You have the political hacks doing what political mm-hmm. hacks want to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do what's expedient for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like the researchers trying their best, saying what they're trying to say. And this is some good, this is very good, a very good study that came out from the CDC journal in May.
Wow. You know, the stuff is buried. It's kind of like the 6% of people have only COVID out there of the ones that they listed. So only under 10,000 people have actually died from COVID in America, not over 200,000. And it's kind of amazing how they bury it in the reports. Same thing with them burying the piece that said that they didn't actually have an isolated sample of COVID. And that was page, 37 in the CDC report, the latest one. They didn't actually have an isolated COVID sample to share. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, and then when the
autopsy... You do like to bury these things.
Right, and then the CDC was telling all these countries they couldn't do autopsies because of contagion. And it's like, I'm sure they're well equipped to work with contagion, and it's not that contagious. And that's one reason that they say to wear the mask, right? Is it so contagious you'll become a pillar of salt if somebody touches you? It's so bad. You know, you're a healthy person, you don't have anything, but you're still going to give somebody the illness because everyone's vulnerable. And it's kind of amazing that when they started doing autopsies against CDC advice, because once they started saying, what do you mean we can't do autopsies? That's ridiculous. How are we supposed to learn about this? Then the CDC came out with a list of requirements saying, well, you have to have it in this kind of room. You have to have approval. A whole list of laundry items that it's very hard to do. And they made it difficult for a reason. And then when they did the autopsies, 150 of them, they didn't find any COVID. And so what they found was thrombosis and they found pneumonia, but they didn't find COVID. And they were sticking people on ventilators that's causing thrombosis and being septic and so forth. So we have a huge problem with the idea that it's so contagious, and people think that the paper mask is going to solve that problem. Is that one of the biggest hurdles you have to getting over this, to talking this, about this?
This paper mask, you know, so in this study I mentioned, they don't look at N95s, which also come with their own risk of not being fit properly and not being hygienic. But the same study, it says, look at this 2009 report from the World Health Organization. For at least 10 years, we've known this limitation to face masks. And the World Health Organization says things like 10 years back, before it was so politicized,
be very careful with a face mask. If you don't use it right, it can make it more likely that illness will spread.
Yeah.
And let me just read a few things from this list. You tell me if you've ever seen even a single person follow this whole protocol. Not touching the mouth and nose while wearing a mask. Not touching a mask while in use. Touching a clean mask with unwashed hands. Mm-hmm. Not washing hands every time after touching a dirty mask. Wearing a mask that is not new and clean. Continue to wear a mask after it's become damp instead of immediately replacing it. Reusing a single-use mask. Not discarding a single-use mask, but leaving it in the environment around you. It's being used so inappropriately. This is not what it's meant to be used for. There's 0% chance it's efficacious, and it could be even worse for us.
Interesting. Yeah, you're right. Because when they did the medical professional one, too, they said they were getting more sick the more they wore them. And so it's funny that they have all these stipulations. They're not really being honest about it. And doesn't it just crack you up that Fauci came out in March, no less, and said they just make you feel better and they can only stop like a droplet, and the droplet doesn't even really do anything? I mean, there's so many stipulations just even on that. So kind of amazing. And don't touch your face. What are all these kids doing in school? They're switching masks. They're dirty. They're not washing them. They're breathing in all their own stuff. Ew.
I've taken to scolding when there's a proud mask wearer in my presence. I've taken to scolding them if I see them touch their mask. And I say, are you going to replace your mask now? And I give them a hard time about it. And it feels very good to turn the tables that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. I mean, does it amaze you that people have such faith in something that's kind of, it's like not very hard to figure out, even with common sense, that it might not be the best thing? Has that been hard?
So, Kate, I wrote this book. The book is entitled Face Mask in One Lesson. Uh-huh. And it's meant to be, I don't know, it's maybe a 15-page chapter that explains how to never wear a face mask again.
Right.
And it goes through things like church and grocery store and work. And I say, this is how you get it done. And after those 15 pages or so, you can put the thing down. The information is there. You can walk away from it. The rest of the book, another 250 pages or so, are for slow people like me who need, like, every little detail explained. And that's what that book, the book's for. But, and it's called Face Mask and One Lesson. But this is a book about self-esteem. This is a book about understanding your own boundaries. This is a book about being able to communicate your boundaries to the outside world and to defend your own boundaries. It doesn't say that throughout the book. But that's effectively what this is about. When you say, I'm not going to wear a face mask, you are speaking up about your boundaries.
Right.
And if the vaccine comes and you're still wearing a face mask, I got news for you. You're going to take the vaccine, too. There's no question about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like knowing kind of what people are about. Like, if they're going to do that, I mean, if I see a mask, I know a lot about somebody, right? Maybe?
Yeah. And they're getting themselves comfortable. They might be telling themselves the whole time, I'm just doing it to, you know, get through the day or whatever. But they're telling some part of their subconscious, get real comfortable with what's going on. This is okay. Get more comfortable. Get more comfortable. And before they know it, they're going to get real comfortable. And they're not going to remember how sick the idea of a vaccine was to them when they saw how not efficacious the vaccine was, how dangerous the vaccine was. Then they'll say, oh, but... The trusted person on TV that I've never met even once my whole life and never had an honest conversation with, I know I can believe what they're saying.
Why do you think that nobody ever questions why we didn't do this for every other illness, flu, you name it? Why do you think people don't question that, but they glob onto the COVID mask?
Yeah, I think a common trend throughout history is that the powers that be must always convince kind of the outsiders that no one is ever questioning them. There is so much questioning happening right now. It is so brilliant. So few people believe this nonsense, but they're just like being steamrolled into doing it. There's so much propaganda to say that this is all trustworthy and is to be believed. I think there's so much dissent out there right now, like an insane amount of dissent, and it makes me very proud.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with you on this. I absolutely agree with that, and I do. I agree. I think that there is a lot of dissent, and you've got a lot of people that wear the mask, don't want to, but they feel like they need to, or they want to avoid a conversation about it, confrontation about it, I should say. And so there's a lot of those too, and I get that. And then there's the people with the mean eyes that if they look at you, they're bought in 100%. It just always baffles me that they can't go back 1 year or even to January when we had 24,000 or 26,000 deaths in January at that point when they said we had that from flu. And nobody ever questioned why we didn't wear it before. And so then that leads to, well, is there any question we'll be wearing this forever and ever? Because the end game now is no illness ever. You have to wear the mask until there's nothing. Then we'll wear the mask forever then, right? I mean, if you go along with this kind of thinking.
That could be what happens.
Go ahead.
I wrote something a few months back, and one of the readers said to me, they sent me in a letter, and it's a very nice letter in which I said, hey, these things, there's a fire truck passing by.
Yeah, I can hear it, yeah. It's okay.
I apologize for that noise.
It's very loud. Go ahead.
One of the readers wrote in saying, I was writing about the executive order where Franklin Roosevelt confiscated the gold.
Mm-hmm.
And was there any resistance? And I'm sure there was resistance.
Right.
I just don't know very much about it. And I wrote something like that. And this guy wrote in such a nice letter about what happened in his family, a story in his family when they got news that the gold was being confiscated by the president.
Mm-hmm.
You got a minute for this letter or no?
Yeah, you've got about a minute, and then we go to break.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll be quick. Dear Steve-O, in 1933, when Roosevelt closed the banks, my great-grandfather, Marion Hezekiah Holden, Kai, Old Man Hendricks, and Old Man Chitwood, that's all I ever heard them called, saddled their horses and rode into town, Atoka, Oklahoma. When they arrived at the bank, they pinwheeled the horses up to the front door. Each man had a Winchester laying across the saddle horn. There was a U.S. Marshal on either side of the door. Old Man Hendricks got down and went into the bank and withdrew all his deposit in gold and silver coin. He returned and remounted. Then Ty did likewise, followed by Chitwood. They were the only ones that got their gold and silver deposits out of the bank.
Whoa.
The U.S. Marshals never moved. Be blessed.
Wow. Wow.
Those stories are everywhere. They are everywhere. I've met numerous families where they tell me they still have the gold from the Great Depression that their grandfather never turned in. But
oh my gosh,
they never think about what that means.
Right.
That their grandfather trusted the president so little to keep his gold.
Jeez. Oh, I love it. Powerful. Very powerful. Alan Stevo is my guest. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Glad to be of service. And I'm grateful for this show. You can donate to the show. Go to katedalyradio.com. And I'm talking with Alan Steve. I'll get there in just a second. Make sure you get over to Balance of Nature. This is a product I love because you do have control over your health. And with 31 fruits and vegetables going into your body a day, those nutrients, dehydrated down nutrients, it is an amazing product. It's clean. There's no pesticides. There's no chemicals. And they use the very best fruits and vegetables. And then they take the air and water out of them, dehydrate them, and serve them up in capsules to you so you can take three veggies and three fruits capsules and go on your way. It takes a couple of seconds, which is really nice, and you know you have the nutrients going into your body to help your own immune system. And truly, your mask is not your immune system. The immune system is located inside of the body. I know that this would acknowledge centuries of medical science, but for some reason, we forgot this year. So your immune system that resides inside of your body would be really help. It would be really glad if you would take in nutrients that actually would equate to something that goes on in your body. And the mask, I think, only makes you more sick from everything that I've read and researched. So on the heels of that, go to balanceofnature.com and put in the code KATE, my first name, K-A-T-E, and you can get 35% off and free shipping. You will love me for this one. I promise. You'll feel so good. Okay, Alan Stevo, back here with you. The book, you have a new book about face masks coming out next week. Where can people find this?
That's going to be on Amazon, mm-hmm. and it's going to be on a few other websites that will exist for when Amazon, who knows? Who knows what kind of censorship could happen? But right. it'll be on a few websites that can easily be found through internet searches until... Mm-hmm. that gets taken down.
I love this.
We'll start there for now.
Face masks in one lesson. It reminds me of the Hazlitt book, Economics in One Lesson. Face masks in one lesson. And this will be so good for people to give to somebody, that a good Christmas gift for somebody that really believes in the mask and just cannot let go of what they think the science is. Our media is very, very powerful. It is so powerful, in fact, that if they told us to literally crawl on all fours and that COVID existed 3 feet up, there is a segment of our society that would do it. Tomorrow. They would do it. Well, they do it today. What percentage of the society do you think is so tuned into whatever the government tells them that they would do that? They'd crawl around on all fours. What percentage do you think, Alan?
Double digits, at least.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So more than 6%.
Yeah.
Probably less than 20, somewhere in there. I like that you brought up Henry Hazlitt. It was meant to... Hazlitt wrote a book on economics where you read a few pages of it and you don't have to read the rest of the book. It's really
right.
wonderful.
Right.
And then, like I said, for slow people like me, you got to read the rest of the book. You want to know every single detail before you're willing to go out there and try it. So my book's kind of written in the same idea. You got a few pages and you can walk away from it then. You got everything you need to know. If you
right.
really need to get in depth, then you can keep it going. Hazlitt, in a different era, a very different time, was a free market guy. I don't know if you know this. A lot of people don't know it. This amazing free market economist
mm-hmm.
was the editor of the opinions page for the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
I did not know that. Wow.
Isn't that mind-blowing
yeah.
to imagine that, like, 50 years ago, you could have a free market guy like
yeah.
that?
Truly amazing.
Insane, right? People were civil then. You couldn't. There was room at the New York Times for that kind of discussion. And it was a cool newspaper in a lot of ways.
Yeah, my gosh, what changed? Well, you know, when you get bought and sold, it's kind of amazing what can happen to your information. And the more liberal, progressive journalists that we pop out, that's what happens. And, you know, you were telling a story going into the break, and really it was powerful about how much distrust there was for the government clear back around the Great Depression. And typically, I think if you went back really through our history, wouldn't you find that we... are supposed to have a distrust. Of course we do, because we came from an overbearing government to solidify what America was going to be, and that was a people-owned government, right? A people-monitored government. And what is your findings in history? Because I love that you shared that letter.
So in that letter, we have old man Chitwood saying... Roosevelt said, what about my gold?
Mm-hmm.
He said, my gold is not my gold anymore. And now the paper money is what I have to take? What?
Right.
And at the price that he says my gold is worth? What? No, I'm going to go over to the bank and I'm going to collect on my gold. Right? And they did that.
Mm-hmm.
It was their property and they did it. And that's just. Now, you got to remember, political correctness, that's just low self-esteem.
Yeah.
That's all political correctness is. That's all virtue signaling is. And these face mask orders, the word mandatory appears everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the word mandatory. It's like these people who write the orders don't or make the signs, the graphic designers, it's like they don't speak the English language.
Right.
They aren't. None of them are mandatory.
Right.
There's a regional grocery store, Sprouts, that is said to be the most mandatory for face masks. You have Sprouts in your neck of the woods.
Yes.
I shopped two nights ago at Sprouts with no face mask. None of these orders are mandatory.
Right.
There's still, if you will invoke your exemption, there is, or if you will just simply not comply, there is room in all these orders for humanity, if you will invoke it. There is not such tyranny that anything is mandatory yet.
Yes. It's true. I mean, that's what it's, yes, I agree. I wish people would realize that. Do you know there's a lot of people out there going, a mandate's a law. It's just like a law. No, it's a way around a law. That's why it's not called a law. It's just, you know, I don't know why people believe that, but we've been trained to just trust and go along, and they have our best interest at heart and do what they say. And here we are 10 months in, and people are still not cluing in that, gee, maybe, just maybe, they ought to look at some more information instead of just, but you know what though? Our mainstream is very powerful. It is. The commercials, the businesses that got behind this, the businesses that are doing the bidding. On Facebook, I asked a question, and it was this. Tell me a business that's been shut down because they didn't follow this supposed mandate from the public health department. Tell me a business, because the public health department's not a law enforcement arm. So you tell me, really, they're not. And they are given certain things in state constitutions, but they've gone too far. And so tell me one business, not the threat. They say they're threatened, but tell me a business that's actually been locked down. And to this day, I still don't know one business in America that was actually locked, that was actually shut down, I'm sorry, because they didn't follow and put up the signs and do all that garbage. It's a threat. It's not actual. You know what I mean?
I haven't thought about it that way. That's a good one. I have to try to dig up someone who actually did have enforcement happen to them. That's pretty good, Kate. That's a good point. And if there was enforcement, I bet the numbers are like in the tens or 20s and not like in the thousands.
Well,
that's a great point.
There was one article that just barely came out a week ago, and it said that a judge ruled on this and said that businesses that were fined did in that state, I can't remember the name of the state, in that state would not have to pay any fines for operating during the lockdown. Yep. When it went to court, when it finally went to court. And that's why I'm saying it's a lot of threatening. They think you're not going to challenge it. They think you're just going to do it. And so businesses have to be very aware of that. Take the stand. It's worth it.
Kate, something you're saying there, you're kind of describing someone acting a little selfishly and saying that's how it's being presented in our day, that you know,
yes,
you want old people to die if you behave a certain way. That's the only moral possibility of why you would not do this, why you would not lock down, or why you would not wear a mask,
right?
And
but you know what my comment to that is? I'm not allowed to visit your grandma in a nursing home. they have made them hostages in America. We have a little Holocaust going on of our own, where they are absolutely denied their constitutional rights. They are not allowed to leave. They're not allowed to have family in. And I'm not anywhere near anyone else's grandma. So, and I'm healthy, but I'm not near your grandma. So how could that be, right?
When you bring up the Holocaust here, there's a guy, he was a Lutheran pastor, Niemöller is how you might say it in English, but a little bit different German pronunciation, and maybe you know his name, but he, once I say what he wrote, you're going to say, oh, of course, see, there was this speech you would go around giving after World War II. First they came for the communists, I'd not speak out because I was a communist, then they came for the socialists, I'd not speak out. Do you know the speech I'm referring to? Then they came for the Jews, and then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. And this is something worth keeping in mind in this moment, and I call it, I kind of stuck my own name on it, the Niemöllerian buffer.
If there's
a buffer, if you act selfishly, you can be acting selfishly while helping someone else. If I help someone who is in threat of having their liberties quashed, I protect my liberties just a little bit. The front is happening with that person over there.
Right.
If I'm going to fight for that person, the front never reaches me. If we can win for that person, the front never reaches me. It's a way to protect your liberty is to help defend someone else. And that might mean you're going to the grocery store And maybe you're not going to give a hard time to the manager about your face mask. Maybe you give a hard time to the manager about why their employees have to be stuck wearing face masks without having the option or something like that. You're drawing the line somewhere else to protect someone else's liberty and helping your own self in the process.
Oh, man. Yep. I absolutely agree with you. This book is important. I'm glad that you took the time to do this book, Face Masks in One Lesson, because we're going to have to address this. They've already said that these masks are staying for a long time. And that is a problem. That is a problem. 2 years, maybe, 2 years. And so I just, I don't know. I hope that we're very, very, very aware of this. I hope that this is something that we go, they have plans for us to wear these for a really long time with absolutely nothing in sight that says that they're going to stop because they want zero. And so that's a problem. And I really do hope that we understand, what we're consenting to right now, because this just keeps going and it doesn't end. Did you want to comment on that?
If you say yes to, listen, this is how bullies work. This is how bullies work. Maybe there's not a bully. Maybe the other person you're talking to is a real genuine person that doesn't play these silly power games. But if you're dealing with a bully, and you say yes to the face mask, they're going to say, okay, now wear goggles. Okay, I'll wear goggles. Then they'll say, you can only go through my store jumping on one leg. Okay, I'll do that, right? It doesn't end anywhere. Then you have to take me home to give the COVID test to your mother before you go to my store. It'll just keep going and going with a bully. And unfortunately, we have a system that empowers the bullies, empowers the sociopaths. It doesn't focus on empowering the individual the way it could. It focuses on empowering these really poor elements in society that in a different generation probably would have been locked up in the attic as the crazy uncle or crazy aunt because of their sociopathic tendencies.
Yeah, right.
But they wouldn't have been running a country.
Right. Hmm. Oh, it's insane. I feel like we're living in an insane world. I'm sure you feel that as well. You have to be. I'm sure even writing this, you're feeling like we're living in an... Did you ever think in a million years... Well, I guess we should have, because the 2010 Rockefeller Report states it pretty clearly that they would need... That they were going to use pandemic next. We have Event 201. They're going to use pandemic next. This was a way to get us to do what they wanted us to do and to serve up this kind of control because people don't feel like they have knowledge medically. Is that really at the root of this? We're unsure about our medical knowledge, so we rely on everyone else to tell us instead of common sense.
That's what every area of our life is being professionalized. And a professional wants you to believe what you just said about medicine, about cars, about safety, about diet, anything in your life. A professional wants other professionals to be in control and wants you piddly salt of the earth person with some common sense and your Bible in your back pocket to just kind of stay in that free speech zone and leave us alone.
I like that. And I really appreciate you. Let people know where they can get the book again so they can give this to loved ones, people that they know. Because you go through the whole science, please.
I like that. There's a little science in there. There's a lot of how-to in there. And there's a little bit of advanced stuff like, remember, this is about your self-esteem. This is about your boundaries. This is about a lot more than a face mask. It'll appear on Amazon November 1st. That's going to be a place where it pops up with a lot of others. And that's not the best place for it for some people, but it'll be there and easy to get.
Okay. Awesome. Alan Stiebel, thank you so much. Really appreciate you. Always a treat to have you and always up to doing something that's awesome. And I appreciate that about you, Alan. It's A-L-L-E-N, A-L-L-E-N, Alan Stiebel. Thank you so much, Alan. Appreciate you. All right. On to Joel Skousen, my next guest. Be right back. We'll be talking about Dark Winter. Be right back.